Thank you, Natalia.
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to finally come to the Åland Islands. I've been in correspondence with Sia, with Justina, and with other staff for a long time, and I sent several delegations here, but I've never managed to come here myself, so it's my great pleasure, and thank you very much for the invitation. In fact, I have to say that once my Crimean group of researchers came here, one of them was one of those whom I believe received the medal for the return of Crimea, who really saw the Åland Islands model as a darling model for Crimea, which was absolutely rejected by my Ukrainian researchers, who said, like, no, it works only with Finns and Swedes and not with us. So let's go back to the situation in Ukraine. I would like to tell you about my background briefly, so that you understand where I come from in my assessment of the situation. Indeed, I grew up in Georgia. I lived half of my life in Moscow. I hold Russian citizenship, and I'm a resident of Belgium. So I've had it all. I look at situations from very, very different angles at the same time. So let me try to present a sort of 3D a picture of what's going in Ukraine. I served as a co-director of the Crimea Policy Dialogue for 5 years. That was funded by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Finland, and thank you very much for that. It was indeed a very prominent project, and in fact, even now, several months after it ended, and a year after the annexation of Crimea, all former participants, some of which stayed in Crimea and some of which are now in exile, they all say that it was a very, very good thing. And even my Russian colleagues from Crimea who are now in the power, they say that they hope that we can continue one day. So let's see whether this will come true. In any case, I continue working on Ukraine, and I work on the Donbas area in a very confidential process, but also in the areas in the east, or I call them the insecurity belt, so to speak, east and south, Odessa, Kharkiv, and the places like that. So if you have questions, I'm happy to answer on all everything. Since I have only 8 minutes, I will try to be very concise. And I would like you to regard the issue of ethnic minorities in the context of protracted violent conflicts in terms of the roles that ethnic minorities play. We often refer to minority rights and how we need to protect them, et cetera, but they're not only objects. They are also can be very active subjects and play different roles. And each role requires its particular set of instruments. And this will be my sort of final point about how we need to diversify instruments, policies, strategies, not only at the international level, not only by the regional bodies, but also nationally and even regionally. And this is what is very much lacking. So looking at Ukraine, first we can say that ethnic minorities can be actors, like active actors, both collective and individual, in the conflicts. And we can see clearly in the case of Crimea how they emerge as actors. I will give you an example, an anecdote from my experience in Crimea. According to all polls prior to the annexation, it was about 40%, 39% of Crimeans who would say that in theory they wouldn't mind joining Russia. Or, 40% was like a solid base of pro-Russian constituency in Crimea. Interestingly, that in Russian and Ukrainian, they were referred to as pro-Russia, right? And we can see how the state itself and the Ukrainian majority itself was drawing the line and sort of pushing them towards Russia as a state, right? As an external state, as an external supporter, rather than like a cultural space or whatever. So that's very interesting. However, the only clearly pro-Russian political party in Crimea, the Russian Unity, had only 4% in the elections. Therefore, there was not, and I can say it absolutely with confidence, that there was not no basis for active separatism in Crimea ever, for active Russian separatism in Crimea ever. So what happened? How this all developed? There were obviously two factors, and one was Russia that absolutely instrumentalized the Russian majority in Crimea, minority in Ukraine, and it was Russian military presence. I would even say it like that, and fear that was instilled by the events in Maidan, and one particular stupidest move on behalf of the Svoboda Party, of the Freedom Party, in attempt to abolish the law on regional languages. This sort of combination created an absolutely genuine and sincere sense of panic among the Russians in Crimea. And I was in daily, I was on the phone daily with all my Russian and Crimean Tatars, Tatar and Ukrainian friends in Crimea up till the March 16th. And I have to say that Russians were terrified, absolutely terrified. And I don't think that they were lying to me. I think that it was quite a genuine fear. So these two factors, they predetermined the move. Now, I don't believe that it was 94% in the referendum. I don't believe, in fact, I know for sure that it was not barely half of the population who showed up. And out of this half, it was probably, I don't know, half who voted for. So it was fake and everything. But there was no other force, no alternative to say no, right? So it was taking place in the atmosphere of intimidation. Is it to say that Russians in Crimea were all of them passive? No. Those who voted, I believe they voted genuinely. I have no reason to doubt. However, we can see how they can be turned into actors from being like rather passive recently. Now, of course, there are ethnic minorities that become victims of violent conflicts, both individually and collectively, and this is what we see in Crimea, and this concerns Ukrainians, Crimean Ukrainians and Crimean Tatars. We see a very clear discrimination against Crimean Tatars. We can see not only discrimination, but acts of violence. People are sent to exile, not let to come back. It's an interesting situation with schools, with education. It was always sort of the line, even when our project was going on, that Crimean Tatar schools do not have future because Crimean Tatar language basically is not a language spoken, even in Crimea, let alone outside of Crimea. Now the situation is even worse, and the recent statement or article in the Российская газета, it's a Russian official newspaper, says that the Ministry of Education of Crimea expects that there will be no applications for, let's say, Ukrainian schools in the next year. In Crimean Tatar schools, their number goes down. The third role, a very interesting role of ethnic minorities, is ethnic minorities as proxies for greater powers. And this is precisely what we see in Crimea and in particular in Donbass, where the war in Donbass is absolutely not about Russian minorities. Absolutely not. In fact, the separatist agenda was imposed by both Russia and Ukraine. And it was not there. It was a purely sort of social protest. So this is, again, an example of how the state itself, the majority itself, shifts boundaries that separated from the minorities. You know, Donbass people, they didn't want to go into Russia. Not at all. They were demanding completely different things. But, you know, it was more convenient for the states. And, of course, Putin, you know, seized the opportunity. And the last role of ethnic minorities that is very interesting, it's ethnic minorities as a resource, both for external power and for internal politics. And, again, Ukraine is a very illustrative case. Let's talk about Hungarian minority in Ukraine. Orban uses ethnic Hungarians who reside in Ukraine, yes, as votes. He's not Putin. He doesn't think of himself as Catherine the Great, but he just needs humble votes. So this is an example. And internally, Ukrainian state was, for instance, always used Crimean Tatars, not, I would say, Ukrainian forces in Ukraine or pro-Ukrainian parties. They always used Crimean Tatars to vote for them, but then never delivered and never actually did anything for Crimean Tatars as a collective. So these are the points that I would like to highlight. And if in the discussion we have time to talk about whatever cocktail, political mix to address each potential role of ethnic minorities in the conflict. I'll be happy to follow on with that.